town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
That's right, podcast for the people, by the people.
I feel like inadequate dealing with this little mixer we have here.
Oh my god.
After last week's episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We were put like, this shit is not good compared to theirs.
No one talks shit about that mixer.
I'm just saying.
I've done a lot of reviews and I've compared it to other ones. Like it's a little beast.
It works awesome.
A little beast. Theirs was like
last week,
ridiculous.
If you listened last week, we were at NFM in Omaha and they had they have their own producer.
Yep.
The dude's got a board that's about, what would it be, like six or eight of these,
and
if you were to add them all up.
About 500 more buttons than that, too.
Yeah.
Four live cameras that he was bouncing back and forth.
You've shown us videos of ourselves.
I mean, it would have been nice if you would have told me that. But actually, I'm glad you didn't, Andy, because I would have been more nervous. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, right when I sat down, I was like, is this guy going to be like,
but
to talk louder?
Yeah.
Or he's going to be like in my ear. That would have been so distracting. He didn't. He was amazing.
But it's more on our side, but we're having issues getting the actual video content from them to us. Our don't want to throw any services under the bus or whatever, but
yeah,
it just seems like no matter what you do, technology will catch up with you and get in the way.
Oh, because they sent the live,
we can't get it up. Yeah, we got the whole recording. We got all of it. We're going to get it up. It's going to get up. It's just that.
Well, if people are listening to this right now, will this episode be after that one?
No, we'll do
this one. Will be okay. So it'll be next week. Yep. Is the one we're talking about right now?
Yep. Oh.
No, wait. Which one are we
going to
do?
We're going to Back to the Future.
Wait, which one are we doing first?
People have already have heard NFM
when they hear what we're talking right now.
Okay, so they'll get it.
Yeah.
But that was legit studio. You know what? Confused. Hashtag goals, right? Like, yeah. I mean,
it was really cool.
I liked the lighting. I mean, I felt like I looked good.
So don't miss
I'm on board.
I know I shouldn't interrupt here, but tell me give me a little bit of the background of what you guys did last week.
Yeah. Andy set up, tell them, because you had met these folks at something and then it turned into that.
Homes for Heroes Foundation that Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's really supports. Where they just build homes for veterans, usually veterans that had some hardships, you know, something happened overseas or whatever. And a local gentleman that was caught up in some stuff over in the Middle East was awarded a home. And through News Channel Nebraska, they sent me out there to cover it. Well, after the ceremony at the local high school, we drove out there and gave him the key, you know, kind of a ceremonial thing. And he said some words. And the Nebraska Furniture Mart stepped up and provided all the furniture, bedding, you know, couches, recliners, things of that nature. So I got to talking to their people and PR people and marketing people, and they're like, we actually have a studio. And we're like, hey, we take the show on the road sometimes. What if we just came to Nebraska Furniture Mart and heard your guys' story? Because I've always been fascinated with how did this start? Mm-hmm. Out of a basement.
Yeah.
Her husband's pawn shop was upstairs, and he let her, Rose Bumpkin, the founder, sell mattresses and furniture out of the basement.
It was good. Yeah, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciated the conversation and kind of didn't know what it was going to be when we got there.
And Andy was awesome.
Yeah.
He was so good.
So nice.
Yeah. Really one of the, I mean, I would imagine longest lasting Omaha originated companies.
They already got their fifth generation family working.
That's
there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You know, taking over.
When Warren Buffett tells this story, right? Is that that's the same story I'm thinking of?
Warren Buffett bought into, and I don't know exactly, but he bought into it like in the 90s, I think, and was a big investor. And then since that time, like Berkshire Hathaway, like I think
part of their portfolio.
Yeah, but NFM still does their own thing, and actually just drove by that one over the weekend in Kansas City. We're talking about,
I mean,
that's just so massive, you know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you would. You know, when you look at like publicly traded companies and how all these things work, are they publicly traded?
Berkshire is, of course.
Okay.
But
so they're just in their portfolio.
Yeah, I would say they're a company owned by Berkshire.
Okay.
And I think that was kind of their transition plan. As the story goes, they were getting up in years and, you know, needed to have an idea of what to do next. I think at that point, you know, Warren was an Omaha native and kind of found them, and they found him and found it as a transition plan for the company.
They don't act in any way like they're driven by shareholder value. They don't act like that.
I don't think Warren's ever acted like. I mean,
true.
I mean,
that's
I think he's the most humble investor that I've ever heard speak.
Yeah.
You know, and reputation wise, you know, he's one that talks about, you know, if you don't have your reputation, you don't have anything with his managers. I've, you know, read The Snowball Effect by him. It was a great book. Kind of talks about his philosophy, and I, you know, just the humility that that guy has. So it'll be interesting now with Charles gone. His partner died a couple, probably 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And kind of what happens now when he's ready to kind of let go of the reins.
Right.
Yeah, because he's getting up there in age, right?
Yeah, I don't know how old, but it's I think it's time to think about change.
Yeah, he's pushing 90.
That's every, what every I would bit. Say,
Yeah, I saw him, oh boy, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago now, or 7 or 8. And he looked great, you know, he was with his wife and daughter. So.
Well, we should probably introduce this dapper-looking man over here. He's standing us all up in a tie and nice shirt.
Folks who are loyal listeners probably already recognize the voice.
Oh, got to.
What do we? What do you got, Andy?
He's our financial guy, Kyle Lechtenberg. You know, it's a new year, turning a new page, so we got to... I figured we better get our, you know, financial futures in line. Here's some do's and don'ts for 2025. I heard there's some policy changes starting at the top. So, you know,
it's news
some,
to me.
Some executive orders are being signed that might impact business.
Just
I don't
a few,
know.
Only a handful of them.
So anyway, I thought it'd be good to invite my good friend Kyle Lechtenberg back onto the show.
And so do you have to dress fancy every day?
Since, that's like, a loaded question. Makes, as an industry, generally,
I would think so, too.
But I think the industry's also gotten more casual.
Has it?
I think my firm has a higher standard than, you know, or it's not my firm, the firm I'm with has a pretty high standard on, you know, how to present yourself, how to dress, and, you know, how to host meetings and kind of all that kind of thing. And I think, you know, just... That's probably my personality. I've you know told mentees before, if you want to move to a new level in life, you know, dress
just
one step higher than the venue you're at. And that's not a big thing. It's not going to change a lot. But if you do it consistently, you're going to put your mindset in a little bit of a different place.
Have you ever heard my rant about ties?
Huh. Let's hear it. Sounds like a perfect time. It sounds like I'm going to get crushed here, but let's go with it.
He used to wear ties all the time.
Really?
So, oh, well, he had to. Because
when I worked a corporate job, we had to wear ties a lot. I worked in like a few different districts around the country, and like one of them that we worked at, we were in auto parts. I mean, we went to an auto parts warehouse every day where our offices were, you know what I mean? And then we'd go to the stores and we'd visit customers and things like that. But it was always up to the leader of that distribution center what the dress code was. So depending on where we worked, sometimes it was acceptable that you wear a polo every day. But one of them I worked at, it was you're required to wear a shirt and tie every day. You know, we're selling auto parts, man, you know, but whatever. My tie rant. And your tie is great. I think it looks,
awesome. Just thank you.
And you have a lot at home.
It's a fine tie. It's a fine
tie. Soften the blow a little bit.
I would say I'm only actually tied up 3 to 4 days a week.
Okay.
They keep, you know, Fridays a little.
Ooh, casual Fridays.
Yeah.
So I think ties are just, and I won't go into it, but ties to me are such a funny thing when I think about them. Like if you really step back and think about it, like who... Like, what do you think the origination was? Like, one day somebody was sitting there and was like, dude, if we tie this thing really tight around our neck and it hangs down in front of our shirts and it bounces around all day, it'll add a little bit of color, it'll add some jazz, but it's going to be super formal.
Right.
Like, this is going to be the epitome of nice dress. You got to have this thing hanging from your neck every day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
You know what it was? It was some idiot that couldn't get his bow tie right. And so it was like all messed up and it was hanging straight down. He's like, no, this is the way it's supposed to be, bro.
See, I thought it would be.
He was an influencer. Read the book Tipping Point.
There you go.
The whole Europe into America.
He just dove in with both feet. Yep.
When I step back and like really take myself away from it and think about ties, I think it's one of the goofiest things that we as a people do. with our dress. It's like this weird thing hanging from our neck is fancy.
I thought it would come from like a collar. I think we should look it up. But like a dog collar. Like, why are we dogs?
Oh, that's a woman's perspective right there.
But you know what I mean? Like,
tied
it's around.
Up is not wrong, apparently.
Right? He said tied up enough. But and the, I guess
Mandy
I just think
was
it's
laughing
like...
over here.
The other thing...
I'm big into that.
Here's the other thing I thought about
Morgan, it. What are you doing afterward?
why would we intentionally... put something around our neck that in no way easily comes off. So you can easily be choked to death by this thing. Like get this thing stuck in something.
Right.
And have that start yanking you around. You're done dealing. It ain't breaking. Well, and it's not untying.
You didn't tie it right then. Can't you just pull that right off?
No.
You pull it right?
No. Correctly? If you grab the knot and you slide it out of each other, but you couldn't undo it just by grabbing that.
So you're saying right now, like if you just wanted to choke him out, you would just like
you could just pull.
Grab the tie.
You could totally, and you could pull this like one. if you grab that and you swung it around the back and pulled him backwards, it's going to be choking him.
It's going to cinch him up pretty good. Somebody.
Can you guys understand how deep he thinks now?
I'm loving it.
When you think about day to day.
And I knew I was going to get hammered right when we initiate. I'm like, I'm waiting for the backslide. Here.
I could kill you right now.
When you think about day to day and like an everyday carry, right? Like what's your everyday carry kit? You know, your knife, your watch, your keys, your wallet, whatever. And your gun if you're a carry guy, whatever. All of those things are like to prepare you to prevent bodily harm, injury, whatever.
Sure.
The tie is the exact opposite of that. It's like, let me put this in place so that if someone really wanted to wreck me, they could.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I get you. I hear you. But I love the tie. And I think it's kind of an answer, like a stylish answer to fancy clothes that women were wearing. But what's more masculine? You know, how can we tone it down a little bit?
Yeah, let's put a choker on and hang it down the front of our chest.
There you go. And make it all silk and pretty. And let's do it.
But it is
really
funny how it's never.
Women, then, it sounds like.
I think it was a masculine answer.
It probably did. There's really isn't like a ton of different clothes guys can say they look fancy in, right? It's a bow tie. It's a tie. What else do you got? Like, I guess you
James Bond has looked the same for over 50 years.
Right. The only way you can spice it up is if you do like a handkerchief or you get little clips for your, you know, like.
I don't know. Cufflinks.
Right. So maybe it's probably it is probably a woman's doing. I'm going to look this up afterwards.
I don't know. I just think it's funny like how our mentality, it just shows you like what our mentality can do. Like we've just accepted that this is fancy. This is nice. This doesn't matter what it is. That's what it is. And we just, we roll with it.
I thought you were going to say somewhere in there is like, that's why I wore clip-ons every day.
Well, I did read something the other day on Facebook. I think it was shared by our larger family. We have a big family, as Andy knows. We're one of eight. And we have these group messengers. We have group texts. We have group app, everything. And they sent something on Facebook about what men's contribution is to daily life or whatever. And then there was this whole big long paragraph on what a wife and a mother, and there was a lot of clothing in there, like you. And I would say for me, over the years, definitely that's been somewhat true. I mean, I'm going to little shout out to Tiffany, but she has always kept me wearing clothes maybe just a little notch above what I naturally would want to. And even back in my full-time farming days, I was probably the best dressed farmer in Boyd County. I'm not saying that.
I was
going to
say, come on,
back.
Man.
That's like it's like a slap if you're from Boyd County. I got made fun of a lot, you know. But we had collared shirts. We were branded. All of our staff was kind of the same way, is the same way, the ones that are still there. And so that was important to, I think she initiated that and thought that, and then I kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
So I would give her, again, back to the woman's fault. She's probably.
He likes to to blame me for when he dresses nice too. Like we went out, it was New Year's, right? Just went to a friend's house and all of his buddies were giving him a hard time. He just wore a nice shirt.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, Morgan made me wear this.
For New Year's, I'm not sure if I'd go with a tie unless
I think it was
like
this shirt. No, I literally think it was
No, it was like when we
this is nice. Normally he has a hoodie on.
You had got me some like button-up flannel or something.
Okay, well, yeah. Anyways, my
like
point
Charles
is
Charles Barron. Yeah, button-up flannel.
Yeah, they're yeah, FBN's flannel boys. Did you know? Do you guys remember this last thing I'll say about ties? Did you ever wear a Western tie?
Oh yeah. In grade school.
Wait, that's a
why
little.
Why is it always like that when we? Yeah, because that was the same way when I was a kid. Yeah,
a bolo tie. I'd love wearing.
Wait, because that's
tie.
A little tie.
So was yours? See if we have the same definition. So when I was a kid, so my parents, you know, we have horses. It was always horse life and Western life. We go to rodeos and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would get me this stuff. So it was like, they called it a Western tie. So it would go around your neck, but it was more like a rope. It was like two ropes.
Yep.
Oh, and then they had this like clasp on them.
Yep.
That would be like a little, like maybe like a rock or an emblem. Or
I had the dopest one ever. It was a skull. It was a bull skull horns. And yeah. I'd cinch that up.
You'd slide that up, and then you had like two ropes hanging down.
Yep.
Just like, have like a little metal tips on them.
Yes.
Just like Wyatt Earp. I was the best dressed at our school play. So our whatever the holiday, you know, choir show or whatever.
Yep.
I remember those. I never actually had that, but I remember. Yeah. Seeing those. I had clip-ons, though. Had a lot of those growing up.
They're coming
up.
Back due to the popularity of, you know, like Yellowstone and
the Western ties.
Nature, yeah. But I got a fun Boyd County story for you about fashion. So when we do a live broadcast, you know, we're supposed to wear a suit and tie. And we even have a sports jacket that we're supposed to wear, you know, that yellow jacket.
Oh, the yellow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I try and find ties that will somehow jive with the yellow sports jacket. But with that, every once in a while I'll just wear like really nice, really fancy blue jeans. You know, that's acceptable now. I see guys on ESPN wear that. I see guys on USA Today, you know, whatever, wear that in the morning show. So I was wearing those jeans, and it gets back to me, some guys from Boyd County were making fun of my jeans for being too girly. I'm like, that was like four steps down from what my boss wanted me to wear, and I'm still catching
were
it.
Were they skinny jeans?
No, they were not skinny jeans. No, they're just
they
just
weren't
nice
Ashley's jeans.
No,
I get made. I got one pair of skinny jeans, and I strategically only wear them when my wife tells me to. Without, you know, every time I've worn them, I get some comment or the awkward silence that we were talking about before the show. Somebody's just staring at me.
Yeah.
Well, I say that because what's his name? Billy Bob that's in Landman. He literally went on an interview and says he only wears women's jeans.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And so anyways, it was kind of like all over. I saw it over social media and I was like, all right, so it's acceptable, I guess.
Okay.
Guys can wear their wife's jeans.
I could
jeans.
Go on a rant for that for a whole podcast too.
Hey, I got something for you guys.
Yeah, what's up?
And I think it kind of fits in with this new age, and skinny jeans gives it a little segue. And Kyle, you're doing a little health thing here too, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in kind of a
juice type of thing.
So is this,
fruit
if this
and
is
coffee
the,
and
if this
water
is the road you're
right
going
now.
Down, is this going to be like the 2025? What's the best moves for you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just got some.
Now, mine is not having to do with like a January thing. I do this probably once or twice a year, and it just is kind of a reset.
Yeah.
And I have given myself the coffee as as an option.
That's your release.
So I think this. No, I think this could be a. I think.
Oh, kombucha.
This is going to be the topic.
Yeah.
This is going to be the topic for this podcast. So we're talking about 2025, not necessarily New Year's resolutions, because I hate the New Year's resolution thing.
New Year, new you.
This looks like fruit. I think I'm good.
What are the things you're going to do in 2025 to better yourself? And we're going to talk financial, but let's start with this.
Yeah, so this was one of our reporters. This is from the First Street Brewery in Hastings, Nebraska. Shout out Hastings, First Street Brewery. They're one of the first in the area to start brewing this kombucha. I have no idea what it is. I just saw the news report on it. Broadcast the game last week in
I've
Hastings.
Had some in glass bottles before kombucha, but not a can like this.
So I still don't know exactly what it is. It's a type of tea infused with this or that. This is a hoppy one. That one is actually
fruit.
Supports it's fruit, but it's the 1890. It promotes part of that goes to
the Nebraska
pay the players. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I dig this. I totally.
Do you have
this.
To have?
Should have I not? Is this electable?
No. Drinking. That's the number one seller.
This is good.
Do you have to have a? Do you have to be 21 to buy this?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but I don't know that. I know.
Well, it's not alcohol, is it?
Well, it says it says on this one. It says may contain trace amounts of alcohol, but it doesn't. It doesn't have any alcohol listed on it.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's supposed to, but yeah, it's brewed there at their.
I don't
brewery.
Know how my body's going to react to this. Just if I have to run out of here, you guys, just warning.
We have two bathrooms. Okay. And the
there's
woods.
A hoppy one too.
I do not want the hoppy one. I know that.
You have,
not
to,
bad.
You have to try that one. Yeah, so this is. I like this green. One better than that one.
Do I need to clean my palate?
I don't
had
know.
A Scooters.
I.
Ooh, this one's a little more soury. I like it, but I like that one.
I like the sour one better.
Do you?
So, and I've never had this stuff before.
Where'd you
so.
Buy these at? Ben's favorite store?
No, the First Street Brewery in Hastings.
Oh, it's actually
came
at
directly
the brewery.
From them.
Yeah,
oh.
yeah. So, I had never heard of kombucha ever before.
Oh, you hadn't? Okay.
But I always thought, you know, rather than having two or three Busch Lights, you know, before I go to bed, what if I can drink two or three kombuchas? Maybe that would help
Absolutely,
out.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Did we not just talk about this like two episodes ago? This is amazing.
We did. Not, I've
great.
Always had this in my mind anyway, and then I just happened to be in Hastings
this
and
is
I remembered
perfect.
It. So, yeah.
So this says on here, and we've been talking a lot about gut health lately. Yeah.
Gluten-free.
It says gluten-free, and it says on here that there's live probiotics in this.
Ooh, it's, yeah.
It says kombucha is live kombucha cultures, yeast, and bacteria.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's got multiple benefits.
To your health. Hashtag to your health.
So it's good. I wonder if you can order it online and they ship it or you have to go there.
I don't know.
Because there's a .com. We should say what it is.
I was
I just
a
saw it.
Little leery of it because there wasn't any price tags and they only sold in 4-packs, not 6-packs. So I'm thinking, well, I'm here anyway. I'm going to get one of, you know, they had like 7 or 8 different kinds.
Yeah.
So I got the most popular and then one that I thought looked like fun.
So this is 1890 kombucha, so kombucha.com.
And 1890 is the collective that pays the University of Nebraska's players.
Dude, I just this week, that's probably the third time I've seen
1890.
Yeah, and that QR code
mm-hmm.
to go on and donate money to Nebraska's NIL.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a huge push for it right now. Like, if you want to be competitive and be one of the haves and not have nots, and, you know.
They just want,
they cut their roster by a third, didn't they?
Yeah.
Wait, they just want any Joe Schmo to donate?
Yes. And that collective will take care of, okay, we're giving this amount of money to a volleyball player. We're giving this amount of money to a basketball player. You know, they'll do all that.
So is my name going to be on a wall somewhere? Or?
If you donate enough, yes, it will.
It's going to be on the wall.
I'm kidding.
It's going to be on a bathroom stall wall.
Oh.
You're so funny.
So what, Kyle, what was you said you were doing? Like some kind of something for the new year with drinks?
Oh, just kind of a, you know, about once or twice a year I do kind of a short week-long thing. And it kind of came from what we were talking about ahead of the podcast was a different guru. If you've ever read the book or heard of 75 Hard.
I haven't.
He has some – I think maybe we touched on it in a past podcast. But I made it 41 days at one point in time. And this was in the summer, probably 4 years ago. But I cut alcohol out of my life. I drank a gallon of water a day. You got to read 45 half hour to 45 minutes a day.
Mm, wow.
You got to work out twice a day. Mm. One has to be outside. So basically you have to like really – and the point of the whole thing is to help you compartmentalize your schedule, like how to develop personal boundaries, compartments, and to be – Frank, the alcohol was for me the hardest thing to do. Not that I don't see that I have issues with that, but and I was telling Andy actually on the way out here, but that was actually the best for me in terms of like crystal clear thinking, like mindset. Like I don't remember a time even recently where I was thinking very clearly on just you know, my work, my family, my marriage, my kids, everything, just. You know, so it was really hard, but it was a really good experience. And the point is not to do that over and over, you know, not to live that way necessarily. But what I've done from it has kind of been kind of take some of those things and put them into my life every day, you know, and I've kind of went through that
on a prior podcast. Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that, yeah.
So.
What happened on day 42 that made you?
You know, I can't remember. I just remember I started – cheating the program enough where I had to I think 42 maybe I had a glass of wine and I was like okay I'm gonna try for 43 and then I didn't work out or something. It was something like it just was like the wheels fell off.
Like a snowball.
And I'm like, all right, 41 days is all I can do. But I have some friends and family that have made 75.
Wow.
And it really changed their life in a lot of ways from a health standpoint.
Did you? So are you doing that right now or you're just doing like some pieces of it?
Nope. This is just something different that, it's just kind of a reset, probably like a fast almost. We've got a lot of transition going on in our family's life, and we're moving to a new home in a week or so. And just along, I don't know if you guys have moved recently, but we did it 4 years ago.
Mm.
And so there's just a lot of things where I kind of want to be reset, so to speak. But I want to emphasize it's not a January 1st reset. This is just happenstance that a lot of things are going on at the same time, and just want to be, it was, this is a breath of fresh air to talk to you guys and have a fruit drink.
Some kombucha.
Some kombucha. Yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought this, man, because I've been looking for different drinks. I find myself going to like pretty much everything that I go to has sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even intentional. It's just like, this looks like something that would be good for me. And then I drink it and I start looking at the ingredients, 40 grams of sugar or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, geez, I can't find anything without it.
I know.
And then the stuff without it is artificial sweetener,
which you don't like.
And then I started looking some of those up.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, there might be ties to cancer. We're not sure. Just don't eat a lot of it.
They outlawed red dye.
Yeah. Red dye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just recently, I'm like, what am I? Skittles are my Achilles heel. What am I going to do? Do they quit putting it in there?
And the reds
are
the best ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. The red ones are a dull red now. They're not as much fun, but they're not killing you as fast. So that's good.
So I keep looking for these different drinks, and honestly, the what I've found to be the best one so far with the least amount of shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Is these waters that have, so they call them like a hop water, or other companies have different names for them.
Hmm.
And they're literally like water with some kind of, might have vitamin C and hops for flavor.
Oh, okay. So like that, like
it's
this.
Kind of like this. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And some, they'll kind of have a little bit of a hint of like a pale ale, but no alcohol at all. And it's just water and hop flavor.
Yeah, that, and you start looking into like aspartame, that could be really bad for you.
For real.
You know, they kind of, is packaged so much as like Diet Coke, like it's better for you, it's going to help you lose weight. And then you find out like, no, you would have just been better off
just drinking
the sugar. Drinking the sugar was like actually better for you than the stuff in that little pink, fake sugar packet.
I remember like 7 years ago, I used to love Diet Coke. I
mean, really? You were a Diet Coke kid?
Yeah, but definitely not Diet Pepsi.
Wow.
F that. They're so different.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, but it was Diet Coke all the way.
You Coke people. I just don't get that. Warren Buffett's a Diet Coke guy.
But I have not drank Coke heavy. In a long time.
Oh, he is. I think he drinks Coke straight.
Coke?
Bill Gates is the Diet Coke guy.
Could be.
Right? Isn't that what old Donnie T does? Doesn't he slam the Cokes all day?
Is he?
Trump?
I don't
Did
know.
You call
I
really Donnie don't T?
Yeah, we're on.
You're on nickname basis.
So we are, yeah.
Donnie T.
It took me a minute to think.
I was like, is that an assistant or a cabinet member? I'm like, I don't
recognize
that. I was
thinking like one of the New Kids on the Block singers. I'm like, is he talking about Donnie?
It's like any celebrity we talk about, we talked about Tay-Tay over here. So like, it must just be these random celebrity names.
Yeah.
Whenever I talk to him, I call him Donnie T. I mean, I don't know.
You've called him that every time you've seen him?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, that name stuck. Okay. Yeah,
that's good.
Oh, gosh.
So, that's good. That's cool. Thanks for bringing that.
I thought you were going to say day 42 was like when I showed up for the golf outing. And, like, you knew there's no way.
I
golf in 18 holes.
Yeah. It does seem like I was going to avoid some drinking. But with that group, I don't think it was going to be possible.
You can't.
That was a good time.
It was
good golf tournament. Kama Farmer Open.
It's a great
Andy
golf course.
Andy came up and joined.
Yeah. Farmer
I wish I could have made the Ponca. Was it Ponca Farmer Open? Yeah. I wanted to. I don't remember what we had going.
That's another really fantastic.
Are you good at golf?
No, I'm a hacker. I don't even golf. I just hack.
Oh, but, well.
We socialize. Yeah. I'm the same golfer, or worse, probably.
I don't know that. But the Ponca one's great, too. And, I mean, there's a lot of support. It's been going on for a number of years. And we, like, semi-televise it. That's how I got involved with it, was once again through NCN.
You know? You could televise the Takema
farm. Oh my God! What do you think? I'd have to have the that little beep.
Have
button.
The ESPN. Beep. Have the ESPN booth like out cussing. Front with the crowd behind.
Yeah,
they're like, "Who's this guy?"
Oh, do like the play you're by talking play. About like the Waste Management Open, that hole 17 or what is it, where there's a big crowd and they're all cussing and you know throwing stuff out on the green.
That would be
do,
fun.
Do something like that.
Yeah. Isn't that like a movie, like Billy Madison?
That's what mm-hmm. I yeah.
Yeah, happy, we can do that.
Happy Gilmore.
Get your Sandler movies right. Jeez.
Gosh. That is bad.
But,
so what's your, what's on the horizon for you in 25, Andy?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing in particular?
Like, yeah, I'd just like to get better at a little bit of everything, you know?
Get better at everything. There's got to be something specific.
You sound like a financial advisor there.
Yeah,
we're supposed to ask, we're like, what's the specific thing that you want to improve?
Okay, so...
Like top two, top three, Andy.
Basically pick up sponsorships for the hunting and fishing show and our sports betting show. And if we can't do that, I think we might have to punt on one or both or something because, you know, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of time.
And I don't know, everybody I talked to is like, oh, it's great. Oh, we love it. And, you know, the network and everybody else, they want more. It's like, well, then.
Give me more.
Put some meat behind it.
I gotcha.
But like, we'll go get sponsorships. So like, no one's stopping me from getting sponsorships. But, you know, it's like a balance. Like, to make something and produce it and to make it sound good, to make it look good, to make it funny, to make it light, to make it entertaining. That takes a lot of time, effort, and thought.
Yeah.
And then you can't just do that, shut that off, and then just hit the streets for 2 months straight and find sponsorships. That's why there's a sales department and there's a creative department. Like right now, you know, I'm coming to the realization that I can't do everything and I definitely can't do everything at a high level. In fact, I'm just kind of a average everything, you know, so.
Right.
Well, I think what you're falling victim to is like as entrepreneurs in general, we take on too much. We always take on too much. It's always like.
Yeah, I didn't even mention this podcast.
Yeah. I can do that. Oh, there's an opportunity there. That could help, you know, my business over here as well. And on and on and on. You do all this stuff. And eventually you find yourself, what you're talking about, doing everything kind of average.
Yeah. Or I say like half-ass.
Rather than one or two things really well. The wife
says it's half-ass. We're like, oh, we're doing okay, right?
Yeah.
No. I know it's so not much, like half-ass effort. It's just there's only so much time in a day. Yeah. So, of course, you're dropping this ball to carry this ball, but then tomorrow it's opposite. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, that just seems not productive, but. I don't have the same brain as him.
I think that's, back to your point, every entrepreneur runs into this, like, and like back to what we're doing in 2025, probably the most exciting thing is working with my favorite thing, working with business owners on kind of that topic of what do you want to improve? And the biggest problem that I see is how many hours do you think you have in a day? And I've had to go through a lot of that with my own life, my own family, my own business. And it's kind of like, let's actually do the math and add it up. And a lot of times it's like, well, no wonder this is hurting so bad, or no wonder this isn't working. I'm, you know, I have 30 hours of work to do and I have 10 hours to do it, or whatever the number is.
Are you seeing people thinking they have like 8 or 9 hours a day, but really once they get out of bed, have coffee, decide to take an hour lunch, like it's really 6? I mean, is that like if you break it down, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some statistics around like how productive people in general are in the workplace.
Okay. And,
you know, I can't quote them, but you know, I know an old company that I was part of a board on, you know, they tracked the efficiency of the staff, and they were running around 70%, 70 to 80%. And I don't remember the back office side of those numbers, but I remember how impressed I was that they were tracking them.
Yeah, just that
and
alone.
And the reality was like, well, you know, and so it, kind of thinking of that, my goal was always to be around that 90% efficient because I think you got to leave a little bit of margin. You got to figure out how to create some margin because none of us do that well.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to spend a little bit more time on this email or on that phone call or even get caught up on scrolling or something. You know, like I'm constantly, like this morning, our new episode dropped this morning on ESPN Radio. As soon as that happens, our video production comes out on YouTube. So that all needs to be coordinated. And once again, you want it to sound good. You want it to look good. And then we have short videos that follow that all kind of build into itself. Mm-hmm. So I'll end up just editing audio, editing video, putting it. And then it takes just about as much time to put it on all these platforms. Like, where do you draw the line? Facebook, Twitter, X. Run into a lot of people that say, like, why aren't you on LinkedIn more often? We liked it when the episodes were on LinkedIn. And it did it. Oh. I was like, you know, that's just one more platform. And it's a whole different platform too, you know. So, yeah. It can get overwhelming so fast. And I also feel like I'm not as productive when I just get into this editing mode, because I just sit on my ass and I'm just behind a computer and it doesn't feel right. Okay. Even though I'm doing stuff, stuff's getting posted. It appears, if you don't know me and you're just following our Twitter account, like, Jesus Christ, Andy's getting after it today. But it doesn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know I honestly just don't know the best remedy.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
I heard a fable the other day. I'm a sucker for those good little one-liners. Warren Buffett, talking about him, he does a lot of them. He's the author of a lot of them. But it was a story of these two loggers, and they would go out and cut trees every day. And the one for 8 hours, right, or 12 hours, and the one person that would take an hour off over the noon hour, way more than he needed to eat, would always be more productive and cut down more trees than the guy that just worked all the way through 12 hours straight, you know, compared to the guy that did only 11 hours. Mm-hmm. And like, well, what the hell's the key here? What are you doing for that hour, and how are you able to cut more trees down than me? I'm working a full hour more than you.
Yeah.
And it was because he was taking time off, and he was sharpening his chains. So, you know, he was resetting and making himself better in that time off. So,
I just heard that, too. Yeah. It's pretty powerful.
It is.
He's sharpening his blade or chain or whatever. And so a lot of truth to that.
My equivalent to that is I take a little bit of time off at about 8 a.m., 7:30 a.m., and I take like a 1 mile walk around the block with my dog. So that's my equivalent right now, but it should probably be better.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I have no idea.
So there you go. That's you going to be being better.
Yeah,
trying to. Yeah.
So have you taken on, you were talking about these drinks and stuff, so are you trying that in the evening or whatever?
No.
But you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Thinking about not drinking.
Well, I've always been curious about this and thought it'd be a cool replacement. Mm-hmm. You know, that's also something where my fragile little ego, like, it needs to be cool. You know, I can't tell people. Oh, I just, drink lemongrass or something pussy like that.
Lemongrass
grew water, whatever. So
I harvest my own dandelions and make my own tea.
Yep, exactly. No, Ben's I don't know.
Ben's found a lot of NAs, haven't you?
Yeah,
Ben hasn't been drinking.
Tried a bunch of different
since,
ones.
What, has it been over a month?
It's only been a few weeks.
Yeah, but
it's just, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like just ice water. I really like ice water.
Was that a New Year's resolution, or was it more just like, I'm going to just try this? It just happens to be in January.
It was like January 6th.
Yeah, I didn't have any plans coming into 2025 for sure. Just a couple of things kind of came together, and I was like, all right, well, this seems good. Mm-hmm. Like, Morgan was doing some kind of cleanse with our daughter was back for Christmas, so they decided to do this cleanse thing or whatever, and Morgan was like, well, while we do that, why don't you do a month of no drinking or whatever? And I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then I started this firefighter training class that's like a 5-month deal. And that, as I got closer to that, it's got quite a bit of physical content to it. So I thought, you know what, that would be good timing. Like, I'll just do it. So the first day of that class, I just said, okay, from the beginning of that class, for as long as I can go, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to rule alcohol out of my life for the rest of my life. I'll still have a drink here and there, but I'm just not going to drink for this training and see what happens.
Yeah. 75 hard.
And that's till like May. I mean, training's done in May.
So, yeah, I'm not saying that I might not have a drink or two, you know, here in the next few months. I probably will. But I went, you know, this is like week 4 or something like that. And even after a week, you know, I was like, this is kind of like the way I feel. Like, this is,
oh my God, we've talked about so many things.
Things,
I feel
like you could do a podcast. Things just kind of started clearing up, and
that's what
I'm sleeping better. And
he doesn't have acid reflux. He's not clearing his throat.
I forgot about that
all the time.
I was listening to this podcast that Morgan had sent me. This lady was some doctor talking about the effects of alcohol or whatever, and the doctor said when you quit drinking, here's the things that you can expect. And the first thing she said was, a lot of people have acid reflux. You don't have that anymore. And I forgot about that. I was like, oh, shit. That was after
he was popping Tums all the time.
That was after like 3 days. It's completely gone.
Yeah.
But like I said, just sleeping 100 times better. I feel way more productive.
Well, Kyle said something interesting. You talked about when you stopped that one time, your mind was like you could
crisper.
Crisper,
probably about day 15. Yeah. I started noticing, God, this is life's a little better almost. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Wow.
I think the initial part of that was pretty difficult for me. It still would be if I'm not necessarily doing a no alcohol thing, but you know, if you get 2 weeks into it, to me, what I remember was starting to really just the health, like what you're talking about, sleeping better, indigestion, or any of that kind of stuff was really kind of going away. And so that part was good. Where I struggled was just the social, any social event is. I mean, I just kind of cave into peer. It's hard not to. And the same with food. If I'm trying to work on my diet a little bit, very hard to be out and social and not have a glass of wine or, you know, or a little bit of food. That's where it made it really difficult for me.
Yeah.
I've got my mind set on like food and diet is kind of the next thing, but that'll be way harder. It'll
is
be
that
way
the
harder.
Midlife? I don't know how old you are, but
42.
We're 42, and you're probably 43. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 43. I won't ask.
I'm 43. Okay, I'm a little bit older than him.
So for me, when I hit 40, the wheels started falling off on I couldn't run anymore very well. I've tried a couple times. It's not. So I do a lot more walking and maybe lifting. Kind of back to your point of my margin in the day is trying to get some fresh air, workout, whatever. But it's not running anymore. And then I can feel it's like, oh, I must have had this kind of food this morning
because
of the way. Like I'm starting to notice things in my body a lot more. That
reminds me because you said you were pretty. His knees were always hurting, achy, like the inflammation. And you said that's gone away. And the kids have noticed. Or our daughter was like, "Dad looks like skinnier. Like you know, just there's not a. I don't know.
Literally,
he's not
like,
as, like puffy.
Not changing my diet at all. Just not drinking.
Yeah.
And previously, just like for reference, for anybody who's listening or for anybody who's curious, I would have at least a drink every day. Like it might be in the evening before I go to bed. It might be a beer before I go to bed or a whiskey nightcap, whatever. It might be as little as that. Or it might be a day that we're tying one on all day long.
Yeah,
and
like
I have,
all day Saturday.
I have 15 beers or whatever.
You never know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it'd be very rare that I would go a day without at least having a drink at dinner or... you know, before I go to bed or whatever. So now, having gone 3-4 weeks, whatever, in a row without a single drink, it's just completely different.
Well, and we also said, I said this, so I don't know if anyone listening, like his personality doesn't change a ton, but he's definitely less edgy. Like just
I get a little more edgy at times. Like in this state of like a fast or a cleanse, I get a little hard to be around.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, and our daughter was like, "Dad just seems like happy."
And I'll tell you,
I don't know. It was just really like not cute,
Morgan,
but it was really sweet.
Morgan mentioned like the inflammation. I can totally feel that. Like even something simple, like you get up in the morning and you bend over to put your pants on, to put your socks on, whatever, like sore, you know, it hurt my back. It's tough to lift my legs up. Yeah. And I'm just kind of like writing that off to old age. It's pretty much gone.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do we even
so
drink?
I want to throw one thing in here because it's on topic.
Yeah.
We got, have you guys heard of the grounding blankets?
Yes.
I've heard of it.
So my folks got us kind of each son or daughter one of those for Christmas if we wanted. They were kind of like, oh, this is what we want to do. We'll see if you like it. Tiff kind of knew about them, so we did get one. I didn't even know. I knew that we were going to get it. I didn't even know. When it got put on our bed. So I just knew sometime
it's
underneath. You don't notice it or see it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm just not even kidding at all. Normally I would get up about 6 o'clock, 6:15 and kind of go into my routine. I just all of a sudden started waking up at 5 a.m. and just like I could just jump out of bed. And I did that for like 3 mornings in a row. And I was kind of like, and I think Tiffany knew it. She knew what was going on, but we didn't expect that kind of change. And I said, I don't know what is going on. I'm bouncing out of bed fresh and just going right into my routine an hour earlier. And she's like, well, we got that grounding blanket. And I was like, I didn't even know that was on our in our house yet or whatever. Yeah. And so I didn't even – it was like a switch and I didn't know. Hmm. So, I mean
– I've heard about
those. I'm
going to
throw that out there I'm kind of sold on them. And I don't know if that will go away, but I'm still – I would say every day I kind of go to bed a little sooner and I sleep deeper and I'm waking up earlier because of this concept of – I think it's supposed to make you closer to the magnetic ground. Yeah. I don't know.
They say you should be walking on concrete or in grass 10 to 15 minutes every day. Like, you should be barefoot.
Oh, concrete, too?
Concrete is a conductor. Concrete's a conductor. Just obviously not your house bare feet because that's not enough, but you should be concrete or grass. And it's like...
Do you know how, like, just something since about you it. Have one, because I've always been curious about it, how it actually grounds?
I think you put it into
Does it go into the outlet? Oh, okay.
There is something plugged in, and then it's underneath. Like, we have a pad. We have a heat blanket, too.
Did you get the TB12, the Tom Brady one?
Oh.
No. No. That would have been like $4,000 or something.
Oh, okay. I'm like, there's a Tom Brady one?
I don't know that for sure. I just know Tom Brady's big into that stuff, and that's one of his things.
I thought I've seen that you like literally have to plug them in somehow for it to be grounded.
Yeah.
It makes sense because I'm just thinking from like literally an electrical standpoint, like our bedroom would not necessarily be grounded.
Yeah, how would it?
So, but if you were to
plug it in,
if you were
to
tap into the ground in your wall plug, that would be grounded.
Ooh, got it.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna look when I get home. Yeah, like, where is this coming from?
I've seen ads a lot.
I know there's something the new plugged into the bed.
The old copper wire, like a like a weather vane or something on the barn.
You just never know if they work, so it's good to hear. Yeah.
The other thing
I was skeptical.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what we were getting. Never heard of them before, and I can just tell you my experience with it.
Right.
What I was going to say, the one downside that I've noticed, and I'm sure there's going to be more that come, you know, as I get you get further into any of these kinds of things, but I'm sleeping so much better. I've got so much more energy. I'm way more focused on the things that I'm doing every day, and I feel like I'm getting more done. But my mind is going way faster, and alcohol, you know, gets kind of used as this like, slow yourself down a little bit. Like you get home at the end of the day and you're and you've been going 90 miles an hour and bam, you know, pound a couple of beers, have a whiskey, whatever, you calm down, you relax. So I'm not getting that anymore. So when it's bedtime, for the most part, like I might be physically tired, but I'm still going. I'm still going. And that's hard to put at bay. You know what I mean?
When you dream, do you have like a lot more like, I don't know if lucid's the right word, but like vivid dreams that you can remember?
I was thinking about that the other day, and I've always had dreams like that.
Oh, yeah?
And that I don't think that that's changed. And honestly, if anything, for whatever reason, these first few weeks, it's almost been a little bit less.
Mm, wow.
I mean, he can dream, he says, and wake up and get back into the same dream. What?
That's impressive.
Who can do that?
A few
Not
times
me.
I would like to have
Haley
that happen.
Can do that. Wow. Like our daughter can, too. Yeah. I don't even remember any of my dreams. So what does that tell you about me?
I remember them like till noon that day, and then they go away, and I can't remember them anymore. Yeah. I'm like, I remember that one dream.
Sometimes I have trouble distinguishing reality from my dreams. Like there might be something that happens during the day, and I'm like, you know,
I just
experienced this, you know, whatever, blah, blah. And then I come to realization like, oh, no, actually, that was a dream. I'm wrong. Yeah. That didn't actually happen.
That makes a lot of sense, especially if it's something important. Like Ashley said, put this on the counter, and that was in your dream. You did it. You did it. You did it. And then it gets to be about 5 o'clock. Oh, boy, did I really do that? Right. Should I put it on the counter?
Right. So along this topic, can I go on this tangent about a situation having to do with this health topic? Mm-hmm. And so lately within the state of Nebraska, some of you have followed Team Jack over the years. Jack Hoffman passed away two or three weeks ago.
His father was good buddies with your brother, right?
His dad is my first cousin.
Oh, wow.
So Andy and I knew each other very well from a professional standpoint. We were peers in the same county, did a lot of work together. And where I'm going with this, when Jack got sick, a lot of people don't know some of this story. And so a lot of it's public, but I can tell you a little bit, and I won't go into a ton of detail, but Andy, I want to challenge us all in the same way professionally. Andy was probably one of the best attorneys in this, in my view. Just he was a business attorney, and he turned basically all of his practice into positive work. Like, he kind of quit taking on divorces. He kind of subtly changed when Jack got sick. Mm-hmm. And then the Team Jack thing was just like, I mean, it just kind of started out of thin air. It started with some t-shirts that got sold, and it just blew up as this foundation. And so then he was so passionate about changing pediatric brain cancer that basically he knew he had to get healthy if he was going to be a promoter of this. Like, if he was going to be able to get kind of back to your point, get the sponsorships. And, you know, I hope he can forgive me for this one, and since he's been gone for 4 years. But, you know, one of the things that he told me was, you know, I saw myself on video or on camera.
Yeah.
And I knew I couldn't sell this concept to bring money into. And so he changed his life from a health standpoint, and he started running. And he was probably, you know, he's a few years old. He's probably 4 years older than me. And so he was he ran the Boston Marathon. A lot of people wouldn't even know that. And Andy would know the Hoffman family from Spencer, Nebraska. Their linemen, generally speaking, their whole generation of them were offensive, defensive linemen. And that's on my mom's side of the family. So running was not something that was natural. Mm-hmm. You know, they're more of a football player, and but he basically was running every day and drinking water, and he probably just kind of, even some of my mental health story, I took a lot of tips from him. He was a mentor to me, and he continually told me. But bigger than that, he had a drive. He had a purpose. So kind of back to what you were talking about, Andy, I guess in this situation, but kind of what is that purpose in all of us that would drive you to make you better? You know, and I don't know your story right now of what you're going through with this thing with the alcohol. I got my own story. I'm not going to share it right now, but I'm in the fast thing. And I keep thinking how good it is to be that passionate about something that you will change your health.
Yeah.
To reach that goal, you know, and that Andy, that was him. And a lot of people don't know this. He had a goal of being governor of Nebraska by age 48. Mm. And so he was actually, you know, from a health standpoint, from a business development standpoint, from all these things. Well, then obviously Jack's illness changed a lot of that. And then it was all about, you know, we've got to fix this problem of rural health care in regards to cancer and pediatric, specifically brain cancer. And so I'm going on a big tangent here, but basically, you know, they've raised over $10 million prior to a couple weeks ago. And now the last number I heard was like $14
million. Wow.
Team Jack is the gala's in 3 weeks, and it's I think Kirk Cousins is the keynote this year, but they kind of always.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
And all that to say that just if you can find a drive, find a purpose, it's you're willing to sacrifice and change your life for.
Yeah,
you know, that was a good example and a mentor in my life that I got to witness very
firsthand.
Close to home.
Yeah. Firsthand. Now, that's amazing you mentioned that, because I noticed that without noticing it. Because they're linemen. They're defensive and offensive linemen. So he was stocky, and he wasn't very tall.
We were talking about Jocko Willink. They were not Jocko. They were, but they still had the bulk.
But when you started seeing him represent the foundation on ESPN and going to Lincoln and doing things with the university, he looked good.
Really?
He looked fit.
That's awesome.
And that's one of those things where, it's hard to sell health if you don't look healthy.
It's like going to get your hair done with someone that has bad hair.
Yeah,
exactly. Right? Like going to a trainer and they're not really fit.
And he did cut alcohol out of his life. And I don't know. I'm not sure I could say how long, but, if my best guess would maybe be a year and a half. Because, we were socially still in the same circles. And, you know, he kind of subtle. He didn't like to advertise that, but, you know, out on the boat, he would have an NA or whatever. And
a kombucha.
Kombucha. Yeah, we would. We just saw this transition. It was very inspiring. Yeah. I mean, just to see somebody that motivated to.
That whole family, the whole story, everything that's gone on, it really inspiring is the word. For those that don't know, just look up Team Jack.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody from Nebraska knows it. And I do think you got to tip the cap to, you know, Bo Pelini.
Would love to see Bo come. Yeah. And I know that the Nebraska administration probably won't allow that.
Yeah.
But that's my best hope is that one of these days Bo comes back to speak at the gala. Because he was – people don't realize how big of part – he allowed that. He promoted it.
Yep.
He saw the inspiration in it. I mean, Rex carried the torch. But Rex was coached by what I see as a great, legendary Nebraska coach that won 9 or 10 games every year, which is, we're finding out, very hard to do.
Yeah. You're saying Rex. Right. That's Rex Burkhead. He was a running back for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He was played in a Super Bowl with them. He was also a really good running back for the Cincinnati Bengals for a number of years. And, yeah, he's still in constant, you know,
he was at the funeral him. 2 weeks ago. Ron Brown was there. I wish in hindsight there was a moment there where I just wanted to go up to Ron Brown. Ron Brown's been a inspiration in my life in other ways too, but you know, it's a hard situation when you're at a funeral like that. There's not a lot of time to those guys aren't going to spend a ton of time there, but driving to Atkinson, Nebraska to be part of that, just for the family. I miss an opportunity to go talk to Ron Brown and just be heartfelt thank you for all your support. And I probably don't know Rex personally as the connection, but he was there, connected with the family. I mean, it was just a sad day all around, it was neat to see those dignitaries there. And I would have loved to see him kind of stand up and speak, but they did more of a conventional funeral just to kind of.
Ron Brown's one of those coaches where everyone loves him and no one talks about coaching. You know, all of his former players, all his colleagues, they don't ever bring up coaching. They just talk about things deeper that mean more than just X's and O's. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you know, the guys he's influences, I mean, I can't imagine the number.
And for those that don't know Ron Brown, longtime running backs coach at Nebraska, and you probably saw him if you follow sports at all, because he gave the prayer after the Nebraska-Penn State football game, after the Sandusky thing came out, and that was headline news. You know, like ESPN was struggling, like, how are we going to show highlights to this after the Sandusky scandal? And, you know, there was even questions, should they even have the game? And then Ron Brown somehow rallied it and said a prayer, and God, I don't know, I couldn't have done that, you know?
Yeah. So. This isn't directly related to what you guys are talking about, but in a way, and like even, you know, my own journey and the things that you guys are talking about, I hate that, and I guess it's just a human condition, I hate that we have to like go through the bad side of it first before we decide.
We're gonna. Why is that?
Yeah. Because you can't.
We kind of have to fail before we can succeed.
It makes me think, like, if you had, if there was a person, and I know there has been people like this, that as a kid, as a teenager, whatever, they realize and they're like, okay, you know, this is the direction that I'm gonna take on drinking. This is the direction that I'm gonna take on finance. This is the direction that I'm gonna take on how I'm gonna run my life. You know, blah blah blah. And they did all this. They would be like the ultimate human being. like how many years have we
wasted
or lost or whatever, even though there's some lessons. Good that comes from some of it. Yeah, there's lessons and things like that, but if we had it all right in the beginning, I mean, is that even a thing, or is this what we have to do?
Man, there's a weird balance there. I got two sides of that
let me say one more thing before you to tie it in, because Kyle said, how old are you? You know, and then we're all basically the same age and starting to do this kind of thing. And you mentioned, is this just a midlife thing? Well, to me, it is, but it's because in those earlier years, we develop all these bad behaviors, all these bad activities. We just do all these things.
Right.
And then if you have the wherewithal enough, you start to realize it, and good for everybody for realizing it. and starting to do something about it, but we have to go through that first.
Yeah.
Or at least we did go through that first. I don't know that we have to, but what do you think?
Well, it kind of goes back to, don't learn from your own mistakes. Learn from somebody else's mistakes.
Yeah.
And like, I love that saying, and I wish I could do that. But then I also remember years and years ago, this guy telling me about, I did this really bad thing, and you don't want to do that. And all I was thinking is, fuck you. That sounded like a lot of fun.
I want to try it.
Let me be the judge. Let me try it. I know that no one's ever come out on top with that, but I want to, why do you get to have
and
that
now,
fun?
And now since you told me not to, I want to.
I'm like, who are you to tell me? Yeah. There's such a...
So,
a
past mentor of mine, Carl Williamson, which Andy would know back from where we grew up, we were one day talking about a large farming project, and he was telling me how so-and-so told him not to, another so-and-so told him not to, and he just goes, I just feel like I really had to find out by myself.
There you go.
He was living it. He's working through this project, and I think it's been probably a 20, 30-year project for him, and it's successful. If anybody knows Carl Williamson, he's a highly successful farmer back there. And but I'll never forget those words, because I would always drip on whatever he would say. I would kind of pay attention to it, because he was just a mentor for a lot of the kids in that day when we were in school. You can get mentorship, and I think that's important. I love that whole – that could be a whole podcast on its own. There are some things until you go through it on your own that you don't quite feel it the same.
Yeah. And like with the Hoffmans, that's a punch in the face. You're not going to
– I got one more Hoffman story. So I was talking to my sister the other day, and I think she'll be okay with me sharing this. So she's got five kids, and the one of their girls is the same age as my Jack. So they're first cousins. I have a Jackson, too, as well as Team Jack. And so I got back from the funeral. I think I just was kind of calling family to see how they're doing. It was just kind of one of those days where you're calling your siblings to check in and see how it's going. And she is so funny, and I just enjoy her so much. But she's telling me how Sophie, her daughter, thought my Jack died.
Oh gosh.
And instantly my stomach just I felt what all those people at the because I'm I'm almost removed from it. I'm not direct family. Mm-hmm. But that hurt. When my sister said that, it put it in perspective of the true pain that they're actually going through. And I can just – I know Sophie, and I she was just crushed. She thought my son died just, overnight or over a couple of weeks. She didn't understand that it was actually Team Jack Hoffman.
Yeah, that's
right. So put it very much in perspective.
Yeah, that's beyond bittersweet.
Right. I was like, my gosh. Yeah. I think I called one of my cousins right then and was like – dude, I am so sorry again that you guys are dealing with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for those that don't know Team Jack, check it out.
Check out the gala a couple weeks. It's a great cause.
Yeah.
You won't be sad by not promoting it or going to it or donating or whatever.
Yeah. So we've sucked up a lot of time quickly.
Yeah, we
So obviously your specialties are in finance, and we were talking about maybe some things for 25. Do we want to get into some of that, or what do you think?
Oh, well, yeah, we kind of touched on a lot of things, but one of the many things that I got up in the air is, we want to get our your estate planning is your big passion, and that's something that, we need to take it serious, as we're transitioning from our father to us, and there's brothers involved and wives and everything else, and that shouldn't be on the back burner. That shouldn't be behind my sports talk show. But what did I spend all last night and this morning doing? I was editing video and talking sports and sports betting, and I haven't spent any time on the financials for our farm. That is so fucked up. That is so ass backwards when you just step back and think about that. Mm-hmm. What matters most? Leaving a legacy, protecting your farm, or having fun dicking off talking
creating
about
videos.
Yeah, it's creating videos.
Well, I don't know how much time we got. What are you guys doing the next 8 hours?
As an outsider, why do you have to do this? Isn't this something your parents are supposed to do? Again, I don't know this stuff. No?
Well, it has to be a team effort. You know,
I thought you were just taking it all yourself. No. Like you're saying, like powwowing everybody. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Just trying to do anything. I'm just saying I haven't put any effort into it.
Like, okay. You know, I got you. I'm like trying to make you not feel as guilty. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. But like, I just was like, why is this all on your shoulders? Okay.
It's not. That's another thing that you got to, you know, work balance.
So on that topic, I'm going to use kind of your words earlier that were pretty powerful for anybody. I think you kind of talked about, I'm sure we got to probably keep moving here and probably be done pretty soon, but you know, how do I get better? I think that's where whatever area of life you're in, like what is your 1% better? Yeah. So, I mean, I would say the same applies to finances. And the other thing that I was kind of thinking about, and I think kind of back to that middle age and kind of what we're all doing here, one thing that – and I can't remember whether it was a book or a video or I can't remember what where I picked this up. But, you know, a lot of our earlier stage of life, you're earning income and kind of building assets. I think when you get to our stage or this stage when you think about – You need to book some time to manage assets. So whether that's a 401k, whether that's a piece of land, whether you're part of a farmland that's an LLC, those are big assets. And if they're mishandled, you know, it can be detrimental to multiple generations. And kind of back to your point was it's very important to have – we encourage most of the time that we can multi-generational meetings. Mm-hmm. I mean those are probably some of my favorite ones to help host. And so how can we – and I always tell people it's not a one and done. This isn't like you get your annual report done for your ranch LLC and then you're done for 5 years. It's more like, okay, how do I create a monthly – cadence or maybe a quarterly. I kind of work in that kind of box of what am I going to do every year? You know, how am I going to improve? And one thing I would like to do better is probably take a week or two during the year to basically schedule nobody and kind of work on this stuff, work on the assets, work on the big picture stuff. Like, where are we going? What are we doing? And that may be a longer time than people have, but, you know, that's and sometimes for me it's going to a conference and staying an extra day to basically business plan, you know. And so I would say as kind of my last hurrah for today would just be think about working on your assets rather than creating income at this stage of life. Now, we're all kind of in that low 40s in this room. I think every age group has their different things going on, but that's something that's going to be a little bit of a theme for me going forward, and something I advise on is how are you taking care of your assets? What do you have and how do you manage it? Because some people will just work 16 hours a day and they get nowhere. Yeah. You know, and that's what we'll probably see more than not is
you're working in it, not on it.
Right. Yeah.
I have two questions. One, if this applies to what you just said, what about just your average everyday working family? What I mean by that is like the majority of the folks who, you know, mom and dad or if they're single people or whatever, they've got a 9-to-5 or 10-hour day job, whatever. They do that. They go home. They got their truck. They got their house. They got their kid, whatever. They're just living their life. They're not running a business. They're not running a farm. For those particular folks, what would be a suggestion from you for them for this time of year? What should they be thinking about? What should they be looking at?
So for the common folk, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
So I would just recommend treat your financial plan and possibly your estate plan just like you would a dentist's appointment or a doctor's appointment, a yearly physical. Make sure you're making time for that to understand where you're at, and probably I recommend obviously having a third party help see what you should be seeing or help you put things together to know kind of exactly where you're at financially.
Oh, great. So we have someone that's never doesn't go to the doctor, so.
Yeah, so I don't go to the financial.
Maybe hit the doctor first.
I don't go to the financial advisor.
I don't know which comes before which.
I'm just saying. When you said that, I mean, he does go to the dentist, so we're good on that. But
1 out of 3, you're good.
So the second question that I had, and I'll start by just, I just want you to give me a yes or no. Do you should you be looking at crypto right now or not?
So Ameriprise has not.
Yes or no?
Is it just a yes or no?
Well, that's what I want to start with. What's the straight out the gate?
I think my personal recommendation is you should be paying attention to it.
Okay. And then, all right, then go ahead and elaborate a little bit.
Okay, so we don't endorse an investment into crypto. A lot of those are your kind of what we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier. Your Robin Hoods. There's mm-hmm. some platforms mm-hmm. out there that'll allow for it. I have some friends and clients that have done very well on kind of on their own, and some that have lost over the years. I always look at it this way. A lot of people, I'll get the gold, the ask, and I'm going to take it a little direction here. People will ask me, should I invest in gold?
Right.
And yeah. So you kind of have gold and crypto at this two ends of the spectrum. Like mm-hmm. crypto is the new thing, gold's the past. And Henry Ford, and I just remember this from touring the plant, you know, he once told his council or inner cabinet, he said, if I would have asked the people what we should build, they would have told me, and he was kind of mad at his cabinet for not coming up with whatever he was trying to get, probably the Model T. And and he said, the people would have told me to build or to breed a faster horse. Mm. And so that's kind of the analogy I use for gold. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take that into the crypto direction. You know, we're already kind of in a digital currency world. Mm-hmm. I don't personally understand. And I think we should do another podcast on blockchain technology as it relates to crypto.
That'd be very interesting. Yeah.
Very interesting. And so when you get into that world, I think that is probably the future. Right now, there's no government that regulates it. So that's got everybody a little scared about it. At some point, that'll change. And there'll be some regulation, and I think that'll be the point where we'll really know what it should be valued at. I think mm-hmm. right now it's kind of ominous. I don't mm-hmm. know that anybody it's just bought and sold.
So it's kind of like right now it's kind of like the Wild West. So you've got some opportunities to make some gains on that are unusual because it's just kind of the Wild West. But you also, because of that, you could fall just as hard as well.
Sounds right. Like NIL.
I don't disagree.
It sounds like a number of things that we talk about. And I'll leave it with this, unless you guys have anything else. Gold, you mentioned gold, and I think that's a funny thing as well, and we could talk about that stuff too, but I think of gold like I think of neckties.
Oh my gosh. I have not heard this one.
I don't know when you guys name the podcast, but this one's got to be about neckties.
Gold versus neckties. Neckties are fancy because we've just decided they're fancy. Gold is worth a lot because we've just decided it's worth a lot. Hmm. Why? Because this mineral and this rock has a little bit of shininess to it. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat rare. Mm-hmm. Do we think that it's worth so much damn money and we're going to use it to back value and currency? Like it blows my mind.
Like, so you're saying instead of like aluminum rock,
anything, or anything
more useful? I think
I'm just wondering, what would you replace it with?
Yeah, so probably. It's not even based on the fact that it can be used for something. It's just based on the fact that it's shiny, it's somewhat rare, and so we think it's worth a lot of money. Like, it's literally just a mentality when you think about it.
I can't wait. I'm going to remember this.
What?
Agent Blue, we have a new guest.
Oh yeah.
He will lay it on you.
Oh, he will
tell you what's going on with gold.
Oh, he will?
I promise.
It's gonna take you out of this world.
He's got some opinions.
Oh, you think he has opinions about gold?
About money, gold, currency.
This is why people value gold and always had. It's a very fascinating story. I can't wait.
So Agent, you've got some. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Agent Blue's going to lay it on you.
When he gets in, we'll get into it.
He'll tell you.
Anyway, so neckties are overrated.
Gold.
And so is gold.
Gold's overrated.
So and is drinking. You better fast. Yeah. You better work out. Team Jack. I mean, we covered a lot of shit today, guys.
We did. And drink more kombucha.
Yes, and kombucha. This is so good.
I like mine, too.
I'll get some more. Yeah,
when you go, tell me again where this is from.
If you guys go on the road sometimes, I should have you come up to Oakland. I think we could. What do I have to have for equipment? Or do you bring all the equipment?
We brought it before.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless you got fun. An NFM studio.
We might.
That was a pretty nice studio. Yeah.
Really?
So, pretty nice.
Last thing I got here, we'll leave it with this. MidlandUSA.com. We talked about them. We talked about them on a few different podcasts. But if you go to MidlandUSA.com, if you're looking for radios, so your walkie-talkies, it's starting to get, people are getting ready for planting season.
Mm-hmm.
You need radios for your tractors. You need radios for your equipment. This is where you go. MidlandUSA.com. Look for this stuff. Get your base stations. Get your antennas. I'm looking right now in the cart. I have an antenna in here for my ATV that I need to get on the front of it to get some more distance. And I put in the code at checkout just to make sure it works. Farm Focused, all one word, F-O-C-U-S-E-D. 15% off. Totally works. Go on, check it out. MidlandUSA.com.
Bingo.
I like it.
Anything else, guys?
I don't do it.
Well, thanks for coming, Kyle. It was fun,
yeah,
man.
Thanks, Thank
you,
Kyle. Guys.
Yeah, good to see you again.
All right. Do we need to call him a third Pete offender?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
Three Pete.
Okay. Three Pete.
Mr.
Yeah.
Three Pete.
Okay.
All right.
Peace.
Closing it out.
Later.
See you.